Some things shouldn't be transparent, like stop signs. But what you pay for should always be clear, like Hiller's True Transparency Pricing, always clearly itemized and never any hidden fees. Because you have the right to know what you're paying for. For more information, visit happyhiller.com/true-transparency-pricing. Happy you'll be, or the service is free.
Call the Happy Face Truck today.
Bring in Dennis Dodd now from CBSSports.com with another weekend of college football on tap. Looking forward to the games tomorrow. Dennis, how you doing?
I'm good. How are you guys?
We're great. Of course, Florida, Tennessee is the headliner in this state. Do we have to be careful not to place too much of our evaluation on the rebuilding jobs these two programs are doing? You know, base it too much on this football game?
Oh, gosh, yeah. I mean, I know it's a big game for the fan bases, but it's almost like, hey, didn't you used to be Florida, Tennessee? I mean, it's they have right. No buzz on the national stage this week. In fact, I am writing for today that Florida used only 2,600 of their 7,500 tickets for the game. And that's no surprise because last year Tennessee only used 3,700 of their 8,500 allotment. That's a problem everywhere, guys, not just the SEC or these two schools, getting fans to travel, especially when, you know, it's a season in which you're down, you're going to change coaches, or you're coming out of that. It'll be a big game, but I don't know if you can gauge anything right now. It's going to be a long-term fix at both.
What do you make of some of those empty seats, even in places where there are big games? I noticed even watching that Auburn and LSU game the other day, you could see up in the corner of the upper deck there are a few empties, which, you know, in years past, you would never see that.
Yeah, excuse me. I've been to Iron Bowls where they weren't full, up in the corner of Bryant-Denny Stadium. It's a big story, and it's a big concern in college athletics. I wrote in January that the average attendance was down to its lowest point in, I think, 32 years or something like that. This is overall. Significantly, the largest decline in a conference was the SEC, 2,400 per game on average. Now, that has a lot to do, again, with Tennessee changing coaches, with Florida changing coaches, with Arkansas changing coaches, with A&M changing coaches. But it still is a challenge for these ADs who are freaking out, losing out to the Barca Lounger and the beer cooler, and the refrigerator next door. And, you know, trying to build, frankly, guys, the experience and not necessarily the game. Hey, come and have a good time. Marketing to millennials who are trying to find ways to spend their money, who do spend their money more on experiences than actual events.
Yeah, it makes it easy to stay home with all the stuff we have now. I've joked for years, Dennis, about the Kentucky-Mississippi State game being one of those, you know, permanent cross-division games in the SEC that we just have to have. This really should be a very good game tomorrow night. What stands out to you about that matchup?
Yeah, I love this game. I think, you know, Joe Moorhead may be putting Nick Saban aside, maybe the SEC coach of the year when it's said and done. I think Nick Fitzgerald now is averaging 100 since he's been back, and he's only been back a couple of games, 100 rushing, 100 passing. We know how explosive Kentucky's offense can be. Kentucky has started out, I thought I saw something yesterday, this is maybe the third straight year they've started 3-0 or something like that. So they've got to carry it through. This has been nice the way they started, but they've got to carry it through in Mark Stoops' eighth year, I think. You know, it'd be nice to see them turn the corner. I'm a Joe Moorhead honk. I think he's going to do great things there. I think they finished second in the West.
And we're on with CBSSports.com college football writer Dennis Dodd. And, are you buying in LSU? Are they the real deal in Burrow and crew?
I have them number two in the country this week. Now, look, we'll see. I thought it was as much Auburn blowing that game at home last week than LSU coming back. Full marks to LSU for doing it. Joe Burrow still isn't listed in the top 100 among quarterbacks in NCAA stats. He's completed only 46.6% of his passes, but gosh, that defense. And Auburn did themselves no favors with a couple of pass interference penalties and letting LSU convert a 4th-and-7. But look, I think Coach O, Orgeron, deserves all the credit he's getting right now. Well, I think that offense, the imbalance of that team will show at some point. But I don't think Coach O is incompetent. You know, I think there's still a legion of fans in and around LSU who want to see him and Joe Oliva fail. I don't think that's going to happen this year. I think this looks like it could be a 9-win team.
Man, Vandy almost stole one at Notre Dame in South Bend. And this week now they're at home versus South Carolina. With the week off, do you think Vandy can actually pull this one off?
Yeah, that seems like a push game to me. They have South Carolina going on the road with that offense, which has been somewhat muted, certainly was by Georgia. Vandy's defense is the real deal. What about the cut blocks? How about that? How about the petulant school children going at each other? Brian Kelly and Derek Mason. No, it would be nice for Vandy to get one, and this is a gettable game. I think this is a push game, and I like the way they competed at Notre Dame. I don't think Notre Dame's a world beater or a playoff team, but they didn't get intimidated, and they went with them toe-to-toe and had a chance to win that game.
Well, A&M it looked well against Clemson, but that was at home. This is against Bama. I think Saban is 12-0, I thought I saw, against his assistants. So how do you see this one? Blowout here?
Yeah, this is going to be, I think, pretty hopeless for A&M. I looked it up yesterday. Alabama's margin of victory, guys, just their margin of victory is 142 points in three games. That's the best three-game start at Alabama since 1931, or 11 years before Nick Saban was born. They've won 21 games in a row, 3 years, you know, it's been 3 years since they lost a home game. Alabama had last time they scored 50-plus at any point in the season was 1945, and they've done that to start the season. I love this about Tua Tagovailoa. On third down, just third down, he's 13 for 13 for 298 yards and 6 touchdowns. There are whispers that this might be the best team Nick Saban's ever had with a quarterback who hadn't started a game before this month. So, yeah, I think A&M going on the road is going to be a little tough.
Yeah, when you start having to score 40 points just to hang around against Alabama, that's not a good scene for other teams.
Dennis, I don't think anybody said this before the season. If they did, they should take a bow. But it looks like right now Florida State is not even going to go to a bowl game.
Yeah, they're terrible. I read a story. I this is not an original thought. I read a story this week that broke down their problem. Beginning with offensive line, they've got at least three guys playing out of position. They've got guys that are performing badly. I saw the Syracuse left defensive end. That word alone, Syracuse left defensive end blow by a Florida State right tackle for a sack last week. And you can see, you saw during the game that he got sacked once, and DeAndre Francois looked up at his lineman who was offering a hand to get up, and he just turned away from him. He's so disgusted. But look, it's everything. I think it's preparation. I think it's just lining up right. I think it's motivation. And you got to wonder after three games if the buy-in is going to be there for the rest of the season now that it looks like, you know, this is an offensively inept and, frankly, defensively inept team under Willie Taggart. And did Jimbo Fisher get out at just the right time? Did he know this was happening? I can't answer those questions.
Second-best team in the ACC to Clemson, to me, is Boston College. What do you think?
I don't think there's any question. I saw them last week against Wake. Wake ran up 105 plays, I think, on a pretty hot night. And Boston College didn't flinch. A.J. Dillon may be the leading rusher in the country when it's all said and done. They're very balanced. Yeah, you're right. Do I think Clemson will lose to Boston College? No. But I think Steve Adazio, who's kind of, I guess listed on hot seats every year, has just, you know, gone, you know, slow and steady there. And I agree. I think this is a very good team.
How entertaining do you think the Dooley Bowl will be with Georgia visiting Missouri coming out your way? Two good offenses, one good defense.
One very good defense and one very bad defense. Missouri gave up 608 yards last week to Purdue. Some guy named David Blau, the quarterback at Purdue, gained the most yards by a Big Ten quarterback in history. against Missouri. 588 yards. Missouri won on a late field goal. Missouri has, you know, one of the top two quarterbacks right now available in the draft, and Drew Locke. He's got 11 touchdown passes. But Georgia has one of the best programs in the country. And I am going to that game tomorrow, and I did speak to Derek Dooley about the fact that he's facing his father's legendary program and his son, who's a walk-on receiver, I think, JT Dooley. But it doesn't faze him. He's just trying to remake himself and remake Missouri. He's done a pretty good job. I mean, you know, he was kind of a – Derek Dooley was kind of a running joke in the SEC after the Tennessee thing. He went to Dallas in the witness protection program as a receivers coach for 5 years. And frankly, guys, he's doing a pretty good job at Missouri. He put in some pro concepts for Derek Dooley. He's actually throwing it better, throwing it smarter. I'm not saying Missouri's going to win, but they might make it a game for a half at home.
And also in the SEC, who looked worse, Ole Miss or Arkansas? And at least the Rebels had an excuse.
Yeah, they were facing a monster in Alabama, but the Arkansas thing, the Chad Morris experiment, you know, why didn't they go get Mike Norvell? Can somebody answer that? I mean, I don't know. I think I know the answer, but I'm not sure. But Chad Morris, when they hired Chad Morris, and nothing against him, he's a great guy, but Chad Morris hadn't turned around SMU, much less, you know, been in a position to turn around Arkansas. He was 14-22 in 3 years at SMU, and then to get blown out last week by North Texas in a play and a punt return, they'll be showing 4 years from now on highlight reels. The what was it called? Oh, Peter Pan. Yeah. The kid faked a fair catch, just didn't make one. Just stood there like a statue and then returned it. So no, it is not good. Mississippi big, I think, in this one.
Dennis, to finish up, is Stanford, Oregon the best of the national games this week, and what do we find out about those teams?
I think it's one of them. It might, you know, to see who the runner-up is, or maybe the best team in the Pac-12. You know, we don't know yet. I think Washington's the best team, but Jake Browning, to me, has regressed a little bit, their quarterback. Stanford has to show me they can run the ball, believe it or not. They sat out Bryce Love last week because of unnamed injuries. Just rested him, basically, to get ready for this game. That was significant in that the last Heisman Trophy winner to miss a game and still win the trophy was Charlie Ward in 1993. So he might be done there, but I don't think they're thinking about that. Oregon has Justin Herbert, who's thriving under Mario Cristobal at Oregon, and both these teams are trying to come back. I think Stanford could actually win the league if they beat Washington. They'll still have to beat Oregon this week.
Hey, Dennis, real quick, is it Jayhawk fever out your way with the
yeah.
success of that football program?
Say it with me. Puka Williams, the leader in rushing in the Big 12. Here's one of my favorite stats of the week. You talk about Kansas being 2-1. Their coach, David Beatty, gets a $100,000 bonus for every Power 5 win. Now, do you guys get $100,000 for turning on the microphone? In other words, doing your job? He gets $100,000 for doing his job. It's one of the weirdest bonuses I've ever seen. But, yeah, they're on a roll. They're doing something right.
Man, the meter's running. Dennis, thanks as always.
All right, thanks, guys.